Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Been pretty busy lately? Feeling like you may have missed a few developments in the electronic realm, and that you may be shamed the next time you go to a party and wind up playing Trivial Pursuit for the 21st century? Well, as they say in Australia, no worries, mate. Let's spend a few minutes and do a little catching up. And speaking of Australia, in that great land, just as in our own, there have been wails of economic grief from the music recording industry about supposedly diminishing profits due to supposed internet thieves exchanging music amongst themselves without paying for it. Well, that could have something to do with what the Australian Recording Industry Association reports is an 11.8% drop in wholesale income for record companies there. On the other hand, a closer look at the numbers reveals that the Australian music companies released 37% fewer albums and 44% fewer singles over the same time period. Let's see. Over a third less music released and only a 12% drop in income. What does that suggest? Sounds like there might have been increased prices, along with fewer choices for consumers at record stores, leaving aside whatever else may be happening on the internet. This seems like a good example of how important it is to get behind the numbers, an example our own Congress might want to take into account as it continues to find even more ways to impose digital rights management restrictions on the music and movies and books and media and computer equipment that's available to us here in the U.S. And speaking of digital rights management and music, perhaps you've heard that the rock band Pearl Jam has decided that their concert performances are actually their own property and don't belong to the record companies. So they've decided to sell bootleg recordings of all of their performances for less than $10 each, and with no digital rights management controls on its use. In fact, more and more bands are beginning to do things like this, which essentially cuts out the record company middlemen, and, if it becomes a widespread phenomenon, could signal the beginning of an era when artists deal directly with their customers over the internet and sell their songs and music at lower prices. If this trend continues, look for even louder howls from record companies over the next few years about how the internet is wrecking their business. And the changes in the creation and distribution of electronic material that the internet's beginning to make possible don't stop with music either. As you may recall from a previous edition of the Electronic Cottage, podcasting is opening up a whole new realm of communication between anyone who wants to be a producer of audio programming and those who are interested in listening to what others may have to say without a middleman. Well, as greater bandwidth becomes available to more people, it was fairly certain that a similar phenomenon would occur for video as well. And sure enough, a new group called the Participatory Culture Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization, by the way, has released a software package which it calls DTV, a free and open source internet TV player. This software allows a person to access or subscribe to 150 or more free channels that already exist on the internet, and there are more coming every day. It provides the ability to see what the programs are about and whether they're focused on comedy or politics or sports or whatever. You can download the programs to watch at your convenience, and if you have the bandwidth, you can even watch in full-screen, high-definition TV quality. And here, at least to some people, is the best part. The software also enables a person to put together their own video programming and share it with the world. If you're interested, take a look at participatoryculture.org. Unfortunately, not all participatory activities on the internet are quite so benign. Now, we're not going to point any fingers here. You know who you are. But there are an awful lot of folks playing poker on the internet in virtual poker games. Billions of dollars change hands in these games every year. So you might ask, what's wrong with that? Well, nothing if you can afford to lose a few bucks, or a lot of bucks, and the odds that you will be losing them are pretty good and getting better. If you check into a virtual game and notice that one of the players is named Captain Poker, you might want to fold your cards and beat it. Captain Poker, you see, is not a person at all. It's a robot, programmed with decades of research and miles of statistical probabilities with one thing in mind, if we can use the word mind in this context, and that one thing is taking the pot, the one that you just anteed up for. A company called WinHold'em has begun selling the poker robot software for as little as $200, so it's pretty likely that if you enjoy playing poker online, you're going to be playing against someone using a robot one of these days soon, and you probably aren't going to win. Unless, of course, you get your own robot, but that certainly does change the nature of the game, don't it? And finally, here's a case moving through the courts that might be of interest. A fellow took his computer to a shop to be serviced, and in the process of servicing it, the technician saw some files on the hard drive that he thought might be illegal. So he called the police, who dutifully rummaged through the customer's hard drive without obtaining a warrant. The police saw what they considered to be some illegal pornographic material. At that point, they obtained a warrant to confiscate and search the whole hard drive, and the man was subsequently arrested. In court, the customer claimed that such snooping on his personal computer without a warrant violated the Fourth Amendment as an unreasonable search and seizure. Just because the computer wasn't physically in his possession at the time, he maintained, it was still his personal property, and, just like a personal diary, should be protected from searching without a warrant. The trial judge agreed, but of course, the prosecution is appealing the decision to the Court of Appeals out in the state of Washington. So, stay tuned, and be careful who you turn your computer over to with what on it in the meantime. And keep staying tuned here, where we'll try to supply you with news and maybe even some occasional insight about matters digital that you can modestly show off at parties, right here on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.